The numbers told the story, they always do.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. Glad to be back. Brian Ortega in for Jeff Parles this morning. How you doing, Brian? You good?
Fantastic.
So,
good to see you.
Yeah, well, good to see you, man. So my whole thing during my 2 weeks off was going to be, well, the headline when I get back will be like, nothing happened. KD didn't get traded. We kind of predicted that before it happened. And nothing's yet happened with Deshaun Watson. Until yesterday when we finally found out, based on all reports, that something would go down today. And something, of course, has. By the way, Warren Sharp coming up on the show later on. Paul Sporer to talk trade deadline baseball with us. Paul Carr, Premier League preview. But it's all about Deshaun this morning. Deshaun Watson suspended 6 games for those who missed it this morning or trapped under a heavy object. 6 games by the independent arbitrator Sue Robinson, former federal judge. 6 games for violating the NFL's personal conduct policy. Here's the Adam Schefter tweet on that. Former federal judge Sue L. Robinson has found that Deshaun Watson violated the PCP and has suspended him 6 games per source. Now, here's the headline for me right out of the chute. Everything that I've heard in the last 90 minutes or so, just sort of monitoring mainstream media and otherwise, I think people are having trouble holding two thoughts in their head at the same time. One, I think for those of us who say to ourselves, hey, he's only getting 6 games and this guy got a full game for this and this person got this many games for this and this just doesn't seem right. This seems morally incongruous. I think we have to be adults about this and realize that there is language that the independent arbitrator had to adhere to. She is a former federal judge. She does not care about any PR that results, bad PR that results in this, nor does she care about any PR that happened before this, talking about, say, the Real Sports Report, when a couple of the young ladies actually gave their side of the story, two of the 24 original allegations, people who made allegations against Deshaun Watson. And it was heart-wrenching, and there's no question about that. And again, people like myself, like-minded people, just your heart breaks for that, and you say, oh my God, well, it's got to be, you know, the amount of games I gave was 8 games seems like the right thing when you watch something like that. But we have to understand as adults, that's not what this is about here at this stage. This is about someone who ruled independently. And I think that's the biggest thing that people are missing this morning just on a little anecdotal perusing of this. So there's a couple things at play here in the personal conduct policy. And we're sort of got to break all this down and then we'll get to the betting aspect of this. But one of the strongest arguments that was on Deshaun Watson's behalf or that was on his behalf comes from the plain language of the policy, which had to do with ownership and club or league management having traditionally been held, this is a quote from the PCP, from the personal conduct policy, ownership and club or league management have traditionally been held to a higher standard and will be subject to more significant discipline, to more significant discipline than players. So remember, Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, who got entangled, my word, down in Florida. Remember it in an incident that stemmed from a much wider human trafficking investigation. Ultimately, not charged criminally, not given any punishment by the National Football League. Jerry Jones has done some stuff. Daniel Snyder, most recently here, for goodness sake, testifying to Congress about misconduct of a sexual nature in the Washington Commanders organization. Not anything ever has happened to him to date. So remember, that language exists in the collective bargaining agreement and the personal conduct policy. Again, a collective bargaining agreement bargained by the NFLPA and the NFL. And so Judge Sue Robinson is only concerned about, again, the actual language. It doesn't matter what our moral compass is, at least to this moment. The other big thing in there has to do with matters of force, matters of force in terms of sexual misconduct. So for those who are talking about, oh, Calvin Ridley got a full season for gambling on football, $1,500 parlay or whatever it was established that it was ultimately. There is no room for discretion on gambling in the personal conduct policy in the CBA. People, oh, DeAndre Hopkins, oh, a trace amount of PED. There is no room for discretion on that matter. But on this matter, the personal conduct policy allowed no discretion for, again, under the law, quote unquote, of the NFL, right? The law in quotes. It was actually cut and dry as well. And the precedents, and if we could show the Albert Breer, I believe it's the Albert Breer tweet that I sent you. Maybe we don't have that. I'll read it off the phone if we don't. But Albert Breer, who put this out, which I think was very apropos this morning, this has to do with the fact that Ben Roethlisberger got 6 games and Ezekiel Elliott got 6 games. That was kind of the precedent that she had to go with. Again, by the letter of the law, talking about former federal judge Sue L. Robinson. The Albert Breer tweet, word for word, if you want precedent here, Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson, 6-game suspension, mirrors pass penalties for Cowboys running back Ezekiel Elliott and ex-Steelers quarterback Big Ben Roethlisberger. Watson's case, like Elliott's and Roethlisberger's, lacked criminal charges. And if you go back again to the Ray Rice and Josh Brown matters, which I think we all can agree the NFL completely botched, that was pre-CBA, pre-latest 2020 collective bargaining agreement. And what that 2020 collective bargaining agreement changed was that Roger Goodell was no longer going to be king, judge, jury, everything. They were going to have an independent arbitrator, who turned out to be Sue L. Robinson. She was going to adjudicate it, and then only after that, would Goodell have the discretion to get involved on appeal? He will have 3 days to do so. Now, the NFLPA got ahead of this yesterday. They sort of saw the writing on the wall. They read the tea leaves, whatever your expression is. And they realized this was going to lean towards their favor. And they said, hey, I'm paraphrasing, joint statement from the NFLPA with Deshaun Watson saying, hey, we're going to abide by whatever Sue Robinson has to say. Whatever the federal judge decides tomorrow, this is them yesterday, we'll abide by it. We hope the NFL does the same. And so there's a lot of people out here now because there's going to be public outcry. There's going to be public outcry, again, from a moral standpoint, justified completely, I'm with you. But again, we're dealing with a collectively bargained agreement here. And so the 6 games that Deshaun Watson got here from Ms. Robinson is actually probably the right pocket in terms of, are you ready for this? Not getting an appeal from Commissioner Roger Goodell. And let me explain that because I know a lot of people are going to be like, oh, well, clearly this is way too low based on all those other things. My God, they got to do something about this. The public outcry is going to be such. You know what happens with public outcry typically? It goes away quick after initial storm of it. I honestly believe, and again, this is, I'll keep saying this because I don't want people to land on this and be like, oh, my God, Gil's heartless. Hey, man, I'm with you. This is awful. This whole thing is awful. But you have to put on your big boy hat here and realize that at 6 games, the NFL ought to probably just issue a statement here and say, we accept the decision, and that's that. And the reason for that is because, keep in mind, while there is, again, we talked about gambling language and language about PEDs, and we talked about domestic violence stuff that happened before the CBA, this latest CBA was signed to the NFL, and the stuff that happened afterwards. There is no precedent for what just happened here where an independent arbitrator had to rule on a matter quite like this. And this is the first time that it's gone to the independent arbitrator. So just let's say that the NFL decided, oh boy, 6 games, it's too low. We gotta make an issue of this. We gotta appeal this, whether it's Commissioner Goodell or someone he appoints. What that would effectively do is immediately, completely turn this process into a whole sham in one fell swoop. And you can't, if you're the NFL, my thinking is you can't do that. You can't agree to this whole process, let the process play out, and then immediately say, right after the very first time it's been put into effect, well, former federal judge Robinson, independent arbitrator, we appreciate what you've done. We've tried to settle it offline. Couldn't come to that. Dan Graziano reporting that yesterday. The NFL thought about 12 games. Deshaun Watson's camp and the NFLPA was nowhere close to agreeing to that. And so short of that, the decision was made. But if the NFL, if Roger Goodell were to decide otherwise and make an issue of this, then you're going to not only create a huge lawsuit from the NFLPA and from Deshaun Watson's camp, but from the NFLPA representing him. But what you're going to do is drag up all of that mud we just referred to earlier about some of your owners, talking about Daniel Snyder, talking about re-adjudicating the whole Robert Kraft thing down in Florida, having all those details come back up. How can you do this if you did this? Which, again, as I hope we sort of made clear here, are not consistent based on the language and the terms agreed on in this collective bargaining agreement, in this personal conduct policy. So that's the risk Roger Goodell would take by prolonging this. If he does that, he is creating a massive crap storm far beyond what has already occurred here. So 6 games for Deshaun Watson, that's the word. We'll look at that Brown schedule again on the other side. Remember our biggest reaction to that to the schedule coming out earlier this summer? Was how easy the NFL made those first 4 games for the Cleveland Browns. We'll take a look at that. 6 games for Deshaun Watson. That's the word after a long wait right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. And start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. It's Gil Alexander. Brian Ortega in for Jeff Parlay. By the way, thank you to Jeff Parlay. Thank you to Jonathan Von Tobel. Thank you to Ben Wilson. Did I get all of them, Brian? Everybody who was in this chair over the last 2 weeks?
All.
Thank you to all. All, I'm sure, did a spectacular job. And seriously, for real, over those 2 weeks, I'm like, well, they could get around to this whenever with this Deshaun thing. And then, bam, here we are. And I just, again, want to repeat it for those who missed it. The main points I want to make again, real quick. This ain't those other things. Like, I know we like to, how could Calvin Ridley for this stupid gambling thing? That's in the language. You can't bet on the NFL. So it's ridiculous what Deshaun did and what Calvin Ridley did. I get it. You get it. We all get it. But that ain't how this works. And again, the other big thing, it's up to Roger Goodell now, commissioner of football, or anyone who appoints, to overrule this 6-game suspension to Deshaun Watson from independent arbitrator Sue Robinson. And for those who are like, oh, he's absolutely going to do that, I don't think he will. Because again, if he does, on this first time that an arbitrator will rule under this newly bargained system, he will sap all of her power and legitimacy in one fell swoop and effectively go back to his prior I am king system. And they don't want that. And again, I'm not saying any of it is right or justified. Please understand. That's the main thing. I'm with you, man. I'm with you. None of it's right or justified, but that's why it happened as it has. And that's why, because this language is different from that has to do with gambling and performance-enhancing drugs, and that's why I believe we're unlikely to see anything from Roger Goodell's office. By the way, these are some other tweets here. This is from Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network. Tom Pelissero, Judge Sue L. Robinson's decision says Deshaun Watson's, quote, pattern of behavior was egregious, but notes that behavior was, quote, nonviolent sexual conduct in explaining the decision to suspend him 6 games per source. And that's what I was talking about last segment, which is that's what Big Ben got. 6 games. That's what Ezekiel Elliott got. By the way, Ezekiel Elliott, of all of these in history, was the messed up one. Like, there were affidavits say he didn't do at all what he was accused of, but that was right after the Josh Brown and Ray Rice matter. So that's from Albert Breer, Zeke Elliott and Ben Roethlisberger. Well, we're showing the Albert Breer one on the side. Tom Pelissero one about Sue L. Robinson's pattern of behavior was egregious, but notes that behavior was nonviolent sexual conduct. And then from, this is from, pardon me, I want to get all these right. This is also from Dan Graziano. Oh, this was just referring to because I threw this in there. This had to do with something we saw yesterday from Dan Graziano, which was that, and this probably explains why this took so long, because some of the thinking was, why is it taking Sue Robinson so long to rule on this? From Dan Graziano, per sources, Deshaun Watson and the NFL did engage in further settlement talks in recent days, but neither side felt they got close. The best Watson side indicated it would accept was 6 to 8 games. Best league indicated it was willing to do was 12 games plus a heavy fine, $8 million range. It should be noted, and we'll have Warren Sharp on here. We were going to have Warren on to talk about his pro football guide, ostensibly here, Brian, because he put out his pro football guide as he has this summer, as he does every summer. We're just going to talk about stuff in the guide, but now we obviously have to derail it a little, talk about this. But Warren tweeted this morning, nearly $45 million signing bonus, keeps all $45 million. $46 million salary for 2022, keeps 45.65 of it. Remaining fully guaranteed, $184 million, keeps all $184 million. 6-game suspension, equal to DeAndre Hopkins for trace amount of a performance-enhancing drug in one test. Well, I've already explained why that's not relevant, that part. Games missed? 6 games. NFL gave Cleveland the number one easiest schedule, weeks 1 through 6. So let's look at that schedule, if we might, just to refresh our memory on this. Games 1 through 4, this was the biggest thing we reacted to when the NFL schedule came out. And Warren was, who'll join us momentarily, Warren was the first person to say this, where he's like, oh, look at that. Brian, honestly, if I said to you, I go, hey, could you come up with 4 easier games to start a season based on a potential suspension to your newly signed quarterback? Could you come up with a better one than at Panthers, home Jets, home Steelers, at Falcons?
Hey, they could play the Texans. At least they kept the Texans off.
True that. They get the Texans in week 13. Now, after that, they do get Chargers at home, Patriots at home. So, Deshaun, assuming these are the first 6 games of the season, I guess we should point that out. We should assume that it's the first 6 games. No one has said that with 100% certainty, but we assume that. His first games back, would be at the Ravens and home against the Bengals just before the Browns have a mid-season, a very nicely ensconced mid-season bye after 8 games, 17-game schedule. So now that you know that it's only 6 games, it really doesn't affect, like, remember, it's not going to, the assumption in the market on the lines for these first 4 games at least, and really for the first 6 games, was that he would be gone. Now, the Ravens and Bengals game, there might be a bit of an adjustment, and a bit of an adjustment it will probably happen to those. People grabbing the Browns and the points in that Ravens game, week 7. Get them before it moves. In terms of a season win total, Jacoby Brissett, he can navigate at the Panthers, home Jets, home Steelers, at Falcons pretty well, can he? Like, if I said to you right now, first 6 games, the games that Deshaun will be suspended for based on where we are right at this moment, pending whether or not the commissioner's office appeals, and again, I've told you why I don't think that's going to happen. But if the Browns come out of that 4-2, you're like, yeah. If they came out of it 3-3, you might even be nonplussed. Anything below 3-3, you'd kind of be disappointed at this point based on that schedule. And then you get Deshaun back. By the way, Deshaun Watson, Jacoby Brissett, the de facto starter now. But we should mention Joshua Dobbs and the great Josh Rosen, Brian, on the roster now. The chosen one.
That's right.
Chosen Rosen. You know what I mean by that. Anyway, do you have any Browns bets?
absolutely zero Browns bets.
This is why most people stayed away.
Yes.
But some people did have Browns bets, right? Some people were trying to read the tea leaves. And most people reading the tea leaves went with the notion of, well, I mean, look what he did. 24 allegations, 20 of which were settled, by the way. It should be noted Deshaun Watson quietly, his camp, I believe, settled 3 of the remaining 4 here just before the run-up to this as well. But again, it was the heart-wrenching firsthand accounts on Real Sports and just the nature of the allegations. We're like, oh, God, they've got to suspend him for a bunch. But again, I hope we've explained why it comes down to 6. And 6 is that sweet spot right on this, because if it had been, let me just go the other way on this. Let's say the independent arbitrator, Sue L. Robinson, had said 2 games. Let's just be nutty about it today. Okay, that might have elicited something from the commissioner's office, right? I think at that point, you get this, okay, you've gone too far. I don't care that we agreed to this new system of adjudicating. You've botched this. But you're a former federal judge. You don't botch these kinds of things. You don't care about the PR. You leave the PR mess now to Roger Goodell. So anyway, I didn't have any bets on the Browns beforehand. Much of this was built in already. It ends up being 6. Sure, that's lower than we thought. Does it make you want to run and bet Browns overs on season wins? I don't think it does. Now that you probably have Deshaun playing a couple more games than you might have thought he would, I don't think you do, because that division is so stacked anyway. With the defending AFC conference champion, Cincinnati Bengals, the Baltimore Ravens, who most, just anecdotally this offseason, most in the betting world say that's the best bet on the board in the NFC North, and then a Pittsburgh Steelers team, which quite frankly, this is a terrible sentence, it's a terrible phrase to start a sentence, outside of quarterback, right? You don't want to ever start a sentence that way in the NFL. But honestly, are pretty, pretty solid elsewhere, especially on defense, and might actually be a bit underrated. So I don't know that it makes, like, all of this is fascinating from, I think, a legal and a decision-making standpoint. But from a betting standpoint, I don't really think that it causes a stampede to the book. Let's put it that way. And anybody who took off games will probably have done so just briefly, because again, the first 4 to 6 games was already built in to what the number was. And I don't really think this goes crazy on the season wins. We'll come back. Warren Sharp will join us. He's got his 2022 NFL Pro Football Guide. Yes, I'll ask him about Deshaun up top. We'll find out, though, his biggest findings this year, what his favorite season win total bet is. Get his thoughts on Coach of the Year, the great Warren Sharp, on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on
the
Numbers Game, it is Gil Alexander. Brian Ortega in for Jeff Parles this morning. We get tweets at Beating the Book at New York Mess 16. This is Scott. He says, I'll continue to shout it from the rooftops. Numbers Game, best sports betting information show ever. Gil never misses an angle on it or aside. The parameters for which Judge Robinson had to abide by was an oversight by myself and probably 90% of the public. Stephen B., great to have you back on a Numbers Game. Thank you, Stephen B. Is that a tan I see from Jonathan Silvera? Is that a tan I see? I hope you enjoyed your time off. Great to have you back. I did. Thank you for all that, by the way. JC, Gil is back. Thank you. Very kind of all of you. Yeah, it was great 2 weeks off, but it was, hey, I wonder if they're ever going to rule on this. And finally this morning they do. And ladies and gentlemen, yeah, I was thrilled to have on the first day back this gentleman agreed to come on the show, and ostensibly we wanted to talk about his 2022 Pro Football Guide, which we will, but obviously the elephant in the room, I want to get his reaction to the Deshaun Watson 6-game suspension from the great Warren Sharp, everybody, at Sharp Football on Twitter. Sharp Football Analysis, of course, works with NBC Sports Edge, among others. How you doing, Warren?
I'm doing great, Gil. Welcome back. Vacation in the past, and NFL preseason starts this week with a Hall of Fame game, so it's a great time to be an NFL fan, that's for sure.
It really for sure is, and nothing is a religion like the NFL, and once it starts, man, are we all immersed. Let me just get your reaction to the 6-game suspension. What are your thoughts this morning?
I think that it is low. I think that I don't understand how the NFL presented the cases. I don't think it matters that all these, that Deshaun Watson and his team and the Houston Texans themselves settled with 23 to 30. I mean, the Texans settled with 30 of these women. I don't understand what goes on in the settlement process. Obviously, I'm sure that there are NDAs that are signed. But in some capacity, there has to be, you are paying these women to not carry a case forward against you and drop the charges. I don't know that that obviously is not an admission of guilt, but the NFL has found issue with players for far less than what they have, what seems to be the information presented against Deshaun Watson here. I polled, I put up a poll last night. I asked for people's responses as to how many games they felt was fair, quote unquote, fair for Deshaun Watson based on what they have heard publicly and the reporting that has been made public to date. And like there was, I think it's like close to 24,000 people through like 2 hours ago before the decision was announced. And the majority of them felt like a full season. And so to get six games, I definitely feel is extremely light, especially when you talk about like Michael Kendrick suspended for 8 games for insider trading. Myles Garrett, one on the field fight. He got 6 games, the same as Deshaun Watson. I also find it, I know they say, oh, well, we don't do this, but we do massage some things. But how is this scheduled? The number one easiest schedule in the NFL. He doesn't have to play 2 road games in the first 6 games of the season. I mean, the NFL absolutely front-loaded with easy games the Cleveland Browns schedule. I'm not quite sure why they did that, but it's clear that that happened for sure. So in general, I'm surprised, and I would be very surprised if the NFL did not actually come back and try to raise this a little bit, because they react a lot to public sentiment. And I can tell you from watching NFL Network and ESPN and following along on Twitter this morning, like the vast majority of the public, just like my 24,000 people in the Twitter poll, certainly feels like 6 games is really light.
Yeah, I already went through this. I won't go through it again. I don't think they will. I don't think they will, because I think they're going to create
really?
A far. Yeah, because everything you were saying from a moral standpoint, from a PR standpoint, from what's going to be react, you know, how people are going to react here in the short term. I don't disagree with any of that. I'm with that, you know, just in terms of the morality of it. But if Roger Goodell or someone he appoints does do something about this, you are basically in one fell swoop making this whole process that you agreed on. This is the first time we've gone through this. You're making it into a sham. And so I think they're going to make the calculus of, you know what? We're just going to eat this, because if we go and try to counter this now, not only are we going to create a lawsuit, not only are we going to drag up all of our owners' past egregious, actions as well, but we are going to effectively restore Roger Goodell as king. And so I don't think they want to do that. I just don't. And having said everything that you're saying, and totally understanding that, so that's just where I stand on it. The part about the schedule, though, what you're saying, and I just gave you credit before the break, Warren, you were the first thing out of your mouth when this schedule came out was, oh, isn't that interesting? The Browns' first 4 games. At Panthers, home Jets, home Steelers, at Falcons, my God. And then it does get tough. But now that it's, let's say 6 stands, let's say it did 6, the NFL doesn't do anything about it, and we move on. Does this make you want to jump in and bet, you know, the Browns over now that you might have 2 extra games of Deshaun Watson? Or is it still kind of from a betting standpoint, kind of like, well, okay, you know, they're still tough games after he gets back, so it really doesn't make me want to do anything with that?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, this roster, I don't think you can account for how much of an upgrade Deshaun Watson is over the prior quarterback play that has been there in Cleveland. Kevin Stefanski, when he won Coach of the Year in 2020, had to hold Baker Mayfield's hand. And Baker Mayfield is much better than Jacoby Brissett, who would be starting these first 6 games. But he had to hold his hand and call out, just like when Baker Mayfield was successful previously, 12 personnel, give them play action, use Baker in the shotgun, under center. Why are we doing all these things? Why do these things help Baker so much? Well, because he excels when the defense thinks a run might be coming. And so when they think a run's coming and they're playing the run a little bit more, that's when we can have success throwing the ball. You don't need to do that with Deshaun Watson. I mean, Kevin Stefanski has played that style of offense for years since he's been calling plays. With the Minnesota Vikings, it was a run-first team because of Mike Zimmer. And so they used some heavier personnel, and they used a lot of play action. And this is why I thought he would have so much success his rookie season coaching the Cleveland Browns in 2020, despite COVID being an issue at that point during that offseason. But we now know that with Deshaun Watson, you can do whatever you want. You can trot out 10 personnel, 11 personnel, a bunch of wide receivers, play from shotgun. Deshaun Watson is that dude who's going to have success throwing the ball. So he can operate whatever Stefanski wants. That means Stefanski will be under no limitations or restrictions with what he has to call. And so based upon how good their personnel is, you've got a few extra tight ends, fine. We're good with using a little bit more 12. But your tight end goes down, we want to use more wide receivers out there. Deshaun will tear defenses up using 11 personnel with this offensive line because he has never played behind a above-average offensive line. His years in Houston were totally terrible offensive lines, and they have the best, by our metrics, offensive line in the NFL heading into the season. So I think the Cleveland Browns are in a great situation. And those last two games that they play, yes, they're tough games against the Chargers and the Patriots, games 5 and 6 of Deshaun Watson's suspension. Both are home in Cleveland. And so, you know, the way that this whole thing falls out, the easiest first 4 weeks, couple in those two games there that are both at home before you have to go on to the road and you get Deshaun Watson back. My only real question, Gil, is how, quote unquote, back to live speed is he going to be when he gets thrown in against a very difficult Ravens defense that first game of the season? Because he has not played under live fire since the 2020 season, since that last game of 2020. That's a long time until that Week 7 game in Baltimore.
Cleveland Browns season win total 9.5. Let me just, we have 2 minutes before the break. I want to just ask about a recent tweet that you had about the Buffalo Bills. Their season win total 11.5. The over is juiced. You were speaking truth about it. You did it from the beach, which was lovely, by the way, Warren, video of you. Talking about the Bills last year, they played the number one easiest schedule, you tweeted. They faced just 6 teams that made the playoffs, second fewest, won only 2 of 6, won just 4 of 10 games when not winning the turnover battle, and now have the second largest increase to a schedule difficulty this year. Now, Tad Brown did come back and say you and pointed out that a little later you did mention, well, they were 0-6 in one score games. That's not going to happen either. So what takes precedent for you then in making that calculus of an 11.5 season win total on them? Which part of that?
Yeah, for me, like all of these things that I'm sharing in the video are great like tidbits for people to know, but these are the super low-hanging fruit that anybody can dig up and uncover, and I think they're all important to factor in into your calculus. I think that there are other ways to bet the future, the quote-unquote futures market on the Buffalo Bills that are more intelligent than simply betting them over 11.5. If you think that this team's going to be a good team this year, there are other ways to attack it. I just don't see enough value. I do not see this team being heads and tails the best team in the NFL, and there's not like a number 2, a number 3, a number 4 team that is close in the conversation where so I would want to lay the odds on the current lines for the Bills to win the Super Bowl. I also have no interest in going over them at 11.5. But the more deeper fruit, Gil, and we don't have time to get into all of this, is the head coach, Sean McDermott, talking about wanting to run the football a little bit more, wanting to run Josh Allen a little bit less. I'm concerned about both of those factors entering the season. I write a lot about that in my book.
Yeah, more with Warren. We'll talk about his Pro Football Betting Guide. 560 pages. Oh, my goodness. All his thoughts on the other side. It is a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game with Gil Alexander on Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The action never stops at BetMGM. Sign up now using bonus code VSIN1000 and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM's state-of-the-art app offers a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, player props, daily boosted odds specials, and much more. No matter what your favorite sport is, you'll find out why nothing beats a win at the King of Sportsbooks. Simply download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code VSIN1000 to make your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. $5. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. And if you have a gambling problem, as always, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offers not available in Nevada or New York. It's Gil Alexander. It is a numbers game. Warren Sharp, the great Warren Sharp, kind enough to hang with us this morning, the author of the 560-page Sharp Football Analysis 2022 Football Preview. Warren, 560 pages. You have outdone yourself, sir.
Yeah, I did, and don't expect us, if we do this again next year, hopefully we're all alive and healthy and kicking, that we can have another one of these in a year, and it's not going to be 560 again. It just took too much out of me, and I don't think that I could, you know, write 600, 650, 700 pages. I think it's perfect the way that it is, and I don't think I will want to do any more than this. Every year I've written a little bit more. I think this year is the perfect amount, and especially if you're which I need to get you, Gil, a hard copy printout here. It's ridiculous. That's why we can't sell them anymore, because they're not 250 pages anymore, printed copy. We have to sell the PDF because it's 560 full-color pages, and printing costs are ridiculous.
Warren, you should have that as part of your testimonial. And like, you know how you're quoting people? You should be like, it's ridiculous. Warren Sharp on his own Pro Football. On his own Pro Football. It's ridiculous. So it's, again, for those who don't know, strength of schedule. Warren always does based on season win totals, the proper way to do season win totals. There's fantasy. There's a big fantasy section in there. There was one thing that caught me at the very beginning. I just want to, we don't have to spend too much time on this, but I just want a 10-second reaction. It said you were 82% on totals last year, Warren. Come on. That wasn't true, right?
100% true from my computer model, but it's very low volume. You know, we're talking like 30 games or less. But we pick our spots, and that was the best year I've ever had. So it's don't expect I'll ever do that again. I mean, that was just – but one of the things, Gil, over the last couple of years that we've excelled at, and it'll be interesting to see how this year goes, is finding things that – we think we can pounce on early in the season that the market is wrong on and capitalize on it. We pounced on tons of overs in 2020 during the COVID off season, and we just started hammering those overs at the beginning of the year, and we're completely right, and books took a while to catch up. Last year it was the reverse. We hammered a ton of unders, and that's, you know, a large part of that number is because, you know, the crowd's back and the crowd noise and the road team's not scoring as well, and defense is playing a different style. Like, we were able to take advantage of that as well.
All right, let's try to do some rapid fire here because I want to get to a lot. What do you feel after all of this through the years? You do these guides every year. What have you learned that you didn't necessarily know when you started these? Like, what have you learned over time doing these? And maybe it has to do with, let me just sort of prompt it. Like, what do you feel most NFL teams, not most, but some, still fundamentally don't get as we enter the 2022 season?
Well, I think more are coming around to understanding the edge that passing on early downs provides. But I still don't know that they understand fully the importance of avoiding third down. Some do, but many still do not. Another thing that comes to mind is of course, like back when I first started doing these, we didn't have the aggression on fourth downs either. And that certainly has shown a big uptick over the last several years and has definitely been beneficial. But I think one of the more interesting things to just mention briefly here, Gil, is teams with rookie quarterbacks, when they're starting rookie quarterbacks, they still don't understand that it's even more important to pass the football on first down with a rookie quarterback than it is with a veteran quarterback. And the reason is because the performance boost that rookie quarterbacks get when they're throwing the ball against a defense that's expecting a run is significant. And you can't just run the football on these first downs and some second downs and expect to get a rookie quarterback into third and manageable and have a lot of success. And I've gone through the numbers, and it's still shocking. Last year, on average, quarterbacks are passing the ball on early downs the first three quarters at a 56% clip. But with rookie quarterbacks, it was down at 51%. And this is pretty consistent. Like 2017, 2018 is at 50%. We're at 51% last year. These numbers need to be back to the same levels that these veteran quarterbacks have, because that's a big advantage that you have with these rookie quarterbacks, is let them throw when the defense might be playing the run. And the only time you're going to get that is on first down. And, oh, by the way, when rookie-led teams have their quarterback turn and hand the ball off to their running back, they are facing, obviously, higher box counts than non-rookie quarterback-led teams, and they have significantly worse efficiency with their running backs running the football as a result. So not just is passing better, but these handoffs are worse, making it that much more important, and teams still don't understand that and still are trying to, like, quote-unquote, to some extent, baby their quarterbacks as rookies on first down, and they just should not be doing that.
And I nodded my way through that whole thing. I totally see that. Most glaring under-the-radar team or player stat that you uncovered this year when doing the Pro Football Preview Guide, the Sharp Football Pro Football Guide, that you feel may or may not be subject to regression? Like, what was a big thing you were like, oh, my God, I don't know if people know about this?
Yeah, well, there's a lot, because I try to uncover things that even the most veteran year-round NFL addict who is reporting on games or talking on podcasts still doesn't know. And so I got so many in here. If I had to come up with one, I wouldn't be able to do it, but one that is definitely better than others. But here's one that I think is absolutely going to regress, and here's one that led me to bet a team win total under, and that was the Arizona Cardinals last year had an insane 56% conversion rate on third downs, on third and long, when they're passing the ball with 7-plus yards to go. 56% of the time, they converted first down. The NFL average is 31%. The 56% the Cardinals had was best in NFL history. In 2020, they were down at 28% with Kyler Murray. There's absolutely no way the Cardinals are going to have as much success on third and longs, and they're also probably not going to have as much success on short yardage running situations as they did last year. Both of those things, I believe, are going to regress, which is going to lead to kickers or punters being on the field more for the Arizona Cardinals, and I'm down on them. I took their win total under 9.5. I think it was like -160 or something, even as recent as like 3 weeks ago. And it's down to 9 with a lot of 8.5 in the marketplace now. But I just think that this team is due to regress from a season last year, which saw them make the playoffs, obviously, wow, and get destroyed in their first game.
That reminds me of the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, right? Weren't they ridiculous on 3rd and 7 or longer?
Yeah, Carson Wentz, exactly. Yeah. Yes, he was insane that year. That's what almost led him to the MVP.
Yeah.
It's just not sustainable.
Just not sustainable. Okay, your favorite season, it doesn't have to be a season win total, but your favorite prop, your favorite season-long bet, or one of them, beyond the ones that you've already said there.
Yeah, I'm down on the Arizona Cardinals. I'm high on the Minnesota Vikings this year. I finally believe that this team, with getting Mike Zimmer out of there and his influence over that entire team, which, though he was a defensive coach, impacted the offensive performance because he didn't want to pass the ball frequently enough, and he wanted to keep his defense looking as best as possible. And his belief was, my defense will look the best when my defense isn't on the field much and they're well rested. So let's run the ball and chew up the clock offensively. Last year, when you look at like isolated spots where this team was passing the ball, let's say second half when they're losing, or on early downs in the first half of games, but they're not passing it enough, they were great last year. And I think they're going to be better with a new coaching staff and better utilization of their players, better utilization of the tight end Irv Smith this year. Like, I just think that this offense is primed to have a lot more success. That's what's going to help the defense. Not making sure my defense is more rested. What's going to help the defense is ensuring that they're playing with a lead in the second half of games so that they know that the other team has to do nothing but drop their quarterback back and throw the ball, and they can pin their ears back and rush the passer and play pass defense. And that's what allows teams like the New England Patriots or the Dallas Cowboys last year to get all these takeaways. Is all these, and that's another team, by the way, that's going to see some regression, in my opinion, with all those takeaways they were getting, is the Dallas Cowboys. But you're leading and you're getting all these turnovers and takeaways from the opponent quarterbacks who are desperately throwing the ball, losing in the third and fourth quarters. I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to go over their win total and make the playoffs from the NFC North this year.
All right, Warren, what's the best way that people can get the Pro Football Guide?
SharpFootballAnalysis.com. It's up there. You're going to enjoy it. I can guarantee you that.
Amazing nuggets, team by team. Got to read the whole thing. It really is just a nonstop flood of those. Warren, appreciate it as always, at Sharp Football on Twitter for all of his pithy tweets as well. Thank you, Warren. Enjoy the rest of the day.
Hey, thanks, Gil.
Warren Sharp, everybody, right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Premier League preview with Paul Carr next.